The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up on Life Today, do you feel like you're in a pit with no way to get out?
But that's not even enough for the enemy. He wants to take us on to full-fledged destruction, from distraction to addiction to absolute destruction. Habits get us there. Very deeply ingrained habits.
Beth Moore joins James and Betty to give us straight talk about God's deliverance and help us get out of that pit. Next on Life Today.
I am sitting here with my wife, Betty, and with Beth Moore. I'm James Robinson, welcoming you to Life Today. And we're talking about the things that break the heart of church members and Christians and believers and confuse people. How can people who are people of faith, who love their family, how can they fail? But they do. They get in a pit, and a pit of defeat, despair. Sometimes they're so depressed they despair of life, and sadly sometimes they take other innocent people with them. And the consequences of sin is painful, not only to the person caught in it, but to everyone else they touch in some way. Innocent people suffer because people who've made bad choices made those choices. And we want to help people get free. And I welcome you to Life Today. I want you to welcome Beth Moore, who is our guest in Life Today.
Hey, my friend.
Beth, and I feel like that the things that break the heart of people when they see someone else fail, it puts us in a sense of dismay, and it disheartens a lot of people. And I think somehow if we could help people understand that the greatest among us, so to speak, are totally vulnerable to stumbling, to making the worst possible choice, or to being a captive, a prisoner.
Oh, you betcha.
You know, the enemy may have a wooden gun stuck in our ribs, but we don't know it's a wooden gun. And if he's convinced us, then he can so often control us, and he's controlling the actions of so many people, which is why I wanted us to spend this week talking about the best-selling book that God really impressed you to write, and it's the best-selling book right now among all inspirational books as we're sitting here talking, because people live in a pit of defeat and hopelessness, and they want to get out. And when you put a former pit dweller, I don't think you're for one moment, and you make that clear in the book, implying that you could never get back in. But for the grace of God, there all of us go. I think that people are getting the book because they want hope. We're sitting here talking with a broken heart because we've seen so much that breaks our heart. We have experienced it ourselves, and yet we have seen hope. We don't have to live here. I mean, you made a statement here in the book, and I really want you to pick up on this, because you said in here that a stronghold is something we have. A pit is somewhere we live.
Where we live.
The stronghold,
yes,
puts us there, if only for a while. I mean, we can get out of this. I mean, it could be an addiction. I mean, you make it so clear that this is not where we have to live. And I want you to just elaborate on that a little bit.
And talking about an addiction, I really do believe that there is a method to the madness of the enemy, that he starts with a distraction, something that just gets us off course, gets us away from looking at how huge our God is in our circumstances, gets us distracted by looking at the circumstance itself or the pain itself or the difficulty itself. Then it moves from that distraction. Distraction's not enough. What the enemy wants is for it to move into an addiction and even a thought process of defeat, unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, lust, greed. All of those are addictive kinds of thought processes. But that's not even enough for the enemy. He wants to take us on to full-fledged destruction, from distraction to addiction to absolute destruction. But the thing about it is that anyone in Christ cannot be destroyed. We may be struck down, But we have not been destroyed. You have never been knocked down so far. You cannot get back up. It is a lie.
That's right.
And to think that, you know, this is it. This is it. There's never a way out of this
hole. If you don't get up, you're not dead. You're just believing a lie. You're believing I can't get up when the truth is you can get up and you've got somebody to help you get up. That's the thing. It's not just a matter of we're in the pit and we're knocked down. There's somebody waiting to get us out of the pit who is able to get us out of the pit and able to keep us out of the pit. And that's the thing we want you to understand. We don't have to live being trampled ground, walked over, stomped on, held out. We don't have to live there. I mean, you may not realize it, but it's a choice. You may have been thrust into the pit by circumstances and family, but we don't have to live there. And Beth, somehow, I pray that every person listening to us can come to understand where I am right now is not where I have to live.
That's exactly right. And that the enemy wants so much to convince us that that's the only place we'll ever live the rest of our lives. One of the things that we do in the book is define a pit as an early grave the enemy digs for us and hope he can bury us alive.
Wow.
To live like the living dead, where we'll be of no impact whatsoever in the kingdom of God, so that he can hide our light in that hole where nobody can see it. He can't take our salvation from us. I believe we are absolutely secure in Christ from the time that we receive him as our personal Savior, but he can do everything he can to keep us covered in a pit to where that light never shines before people.
You know what I'm thinking about right here, and I see, Betty, you're ready to jump in with something in the book, but let me just say something. This is what, by the way, there is a spirit of discernment. I mean, where we can hear God and we can discern needs, we can discern a situation like people out here. I wouldn't have to look at these ladies and the men in this audience long that I might not be able to detect a need, loneliness, hurt, suffering, a real pain within. You can see it. And I sense, as you were talking about, the Christian, the believer, the person that knows God now being knocked down and not knowing I can really get up and not believing. There are a lot of people that are in that pit and they don't even see God. They don't even associate it to God. It's just life dealt them a harsh, hard hand, a bad deal. There's a lot of hate, anger, a lot of confusion, a lot of bewilderment, a lot of questions. And the enemy really, truly has you as his own. I mean, it isn't just a matter of he pulled you in a pit. He can really make it you look like you're sitting on a throne. But inside, you're empty. All is not well with your soul. There's something wrong. And you may have some animosity, hostility. You may be skeptical. You may have seen Christians fail because they were in the pit. But I'm going to tell you something. God loves you, and he wants to lift you up and set you on a plane higher than anything you ever imagined or that the world could ever give. So you need to know that although we may be referring to believers, people who say they believe in God, who confess their faith in Christ, being in a pit and being defeated, God hasn't overlooked you. He wants you to know him. And you say, well, I thought if I knew him and solve all my problems. No, the problem solver becomes a very real abiding presence and power in your life.
Yes.
Who will walk with you through all the trials and will help us. But we've got to learn that because we're in a war. So if you think you're going to get right with God and have no more fight or struggle, well, you're mistaken. You can have the same problems, but God is the deliverer. Betty, what were you going to refer to in the book? Because
don't,
I can tell you.
Don't you just love it when people read your book to you?
Well, I'm thinking I'm going to go back and read it again as well.
You might have missed something.
Yes.
I like this because the enemy does take care in trying to disguise these pits.
Yes, he does.
You said, I beg you to see that your enemy has a tremendous investment, not only in digging and camouflaging a pit in your pathway, but also you should tumble down and in convincing you to stay there after you fall in. He knows that in this pit, you will feel powerless to stand up against him. There you are vulnerable to him and out of the way.
Exactly, where we won't be of any trouble to him.
Yeah.
If I can keep you in there, you're out of my hair, you're out of my way, and I don't have to worry about you.
If he convinces us, we can't get out.
Yes, and you know, one of the things I find so incredibly wonderful about the way God works is that it will be his personal agenda to make sure you're miserable in that hole. Mm-hmm. You don't want to get comfortable there. I love the
words
out of Job.
God will do whatever he has to do.
Yes. To make you miserable enough in that pit to where you'll say, I'm ready to do anything to get out.
That's well stated.
You can't just stay there. You can't just sit in that place for the rest
of your
life.
It's a place of misery.
Exactly, exactly. I love the words out of Job. It says, God does all these things to a man twice, even three times, to turn back his soul from the pit, that the light of life may shine on him. Mm. That he will do, he will allow things to happen that make us miserable enough in that place. You know, I felt like there have been times he said over my own life, how much fire do you want me to turn up in this place? How hot do you want this to get? Mm-hmm. I think that is one of the baptisms of fire.
I don't think it's just Holy Spirit fire. I think it's just the trials and afflictions of the bad choices we made. I think that's a baptism of fire. Is that biblical, what I'm saying?
I absolutely believe it is.
I think you look at the whole Old Testament, you see these baptisms of fire, where these trials, because of lousy choices, they get hemmed up and held captive by the enemy.
I love the picture when Paul and Silas are in prison, and it says that an earthquake, God caused an earthquake to take place, and that all their chains dropped off. And I think that is so often true for us, that God will allow something cataclysmic to happen in our lives. We'll just continue on. No crisis really comes, so often we'll continue on in that same misery. But God allows things to happen. Happen there that are such earthquakes in life for us that the chains begin to drop off and we think, you know what, I do not have to live here. And I am miserable here and I have got a God echoing down into that pit, come and be free. You can be free.
Let me tell you something that you shared in the book, and I actually called you on the telephone as I was reading your book. And I hope you don't think she just wrote this book for women, because if she did, then I violated the code. I read every word of it. I highlighted it. I dog-eared it. I called Beth while I was reading it. By the way, is it for everybody? Is it okay for me to read the book?
I certainly do hope so, James. I hope that the Word of God is not just gender specific, and I hope it's been through. But I've got to tell you, that was the sweetest morning. I'll never forget that phone call, because James and Betty called me while they were each in a different place. First, I sent
reading
Betty
the book,
because
right.
You know, she's my
right.
good buddy. And and so then I get a call from Betty going, James would like a copy of the book.
That's right. She didn't even give me a book.
I sent this one later.
And she did. She wrote me a little note.
That's right. So they were reading it together.
She said, you can be the only man on earth that reads this book.
Keith has read the book. Praise God, he's read the book.
All right, I called. You said it meant a lot.
It was just such a powerful moment on the phone, because they got so excited. Because
right.
they had seen so many things happen that are described in my experience. They've gone through the same thing. They've known that kind of despair and that kind of feeling of hopelessness, that this is all there is for me. This is where I'm going to live the rest of my life.
We were reading it to each other. Uh-huh. She'd say, listen to this. And I'd say, well, you listen to this. Well, you listen to this.
And James said, we both just sat here and cried. And I got off that phone. I could not believe it.
But let me tell you what I called about, because you might not remember the specifics, because you were so happy. You're a woman and you were all happy. But I called to tell you, this is the thing that I said, Beth, I have experienced some of the most dramatic Damascus Road type encounters with God, where I was instantly delivered. I mean, just bang. And one of the things God did in my call to preach and the filling of the Holy Spirit, I felt like I was baptized, I was immersed in love. It was the most amazing thing. But I didn't tell people about that often, because I didn't want them to go out looking for a feeling. I wanted them to be full of spirit, not have, you know, love goosebumps all over them or something.
Right.
But I felt like I was being baptized in love. But most of my spiritual experiences have been without feeling, as far as my emotions. It just suddenly, bang, my deliverance, I never felt. I just woke up and I realized that whatever this was that had me, it was gone. Someone had prayed, and I'd agreed, and in humility and brokenness, I said, I want this claw out of my brain. I want this thing gone. I woke up, it was gone. And it was so dramatic that, you know, for 15, 20 years, I observed that magnetic attraction, it was in the area of lust. It was, I could look out at a woman and see beauty, but there'd be a magnetic, a demonic connection. It was supernatural. It was awful. But it was real, Beth. It was very, very real. And suddenly it was gone. I mean, just gone. Never again. It just wasn't there. It was so wonderful. And I thought, well, that's what everything is like. And then Beth writes in this book that she never experienced anything like that.
Not once.
Not once. See, she's still hoping for that. So we're all praying for her. She says, I have had to go through these things, and it's been a process. It's taken time. And then she made this incredible statement. She said, I found that the deliverer is more interested in us actually getting to know the deliverer well than the deliverance. In other words, it's the relationship that produces the fruitfulness and the life, the fruit of the Spirit, not just the experience to talk about, but experiencing the fullness of His abiding presence, and it'll be a battle. You won't always get delivered. Now, this bothered me, because I have I mean, I believe chocolate can talk. I believe there are things that are addictive that call.
I agree with that.
I have conversations
yes,
with them.
Yes.
They tell me where they
yes,
are. I yes. can find them when they've been hidden.
Yes.
I'm just saying that these things don't automatically go away. Some of the thoughts that come, that go clear back to my childhood, where I know I was hurt, those things will come at me. And they didn't just vanish. I actually did not get disheartened when I read the truth you shared. I realized I'm on a journey. I'm in a battle. It requires putting on the whole armor of God every day, taking up the sword of the Spirit, and going into war with an enemy. And I can put on a Super Bowl ring every day and a championship trophy because I can win over the enemy that I'm fighting
that's
that
right.
day.
That's right.
But I won't just get up in bliss and sit there and say, oh, I'm asleep at ease in Zion.
You know,
no way.
Well, here's the compliment. God says, this is what I'm interested in. I'm interested in having a relationship with you. I'm interested in you living off of me. And that's what God taught me to do. And we've all known people that have given testimonies and accurately told the truth of how it happened, that just instantly they were healed from perhaps an alcohol addiction, a drug addiction, an eating disorder, whatever it may have been. And sometimes we'll sit out there and listen to something like that and think, I have begged God for that.
Mm-hmm.
Did any of you? I begged God for that. I just want to, right now, and I'm going to go through the formula of everything I'm supposed to say and everything I'm supposed to do, whatever posture I need to take. And then I'm, lift up my head and go, okay, did it happen? Did it happen? And before long, I realized, no, I'm still in that very same vice grip. What God began to show me, He can do it any way He wants to. I've often thought it depends on what His point is. If He's after showing us His supremacy, then He'll do something instantaneously, so we'll go, man, the Most High God. I mean, there is no one like the Most High God. But if He is after us seeing His sufficiency, what is His agenda? For me, He wanted me to get to where I lived off of Him in such closeness of relationship, as close as the breath in my lungs, that I was so aware of that I had to live if I were going to be free over the bondage I'd been in addictive thoughts and some addictive behaviors, then I was going to have to literally live off of Him from mm-hmm. breakfast till noon, from noon to supper, and from supper to bedtime, and then all through the black of night. And what happened through that is that so often we've been in a pit for a long time, especially if you're a cycler. And that's what I was. I just would cycle back into it over and over. Habits get us there. Very deeply ingrained habits. God was totally reformulating my habitual life, my habit life, to make Himself my habit. To make Him what I drew life from. To make me get in such a mode of constant awareness of His presence and His power that that relationship, that living and breathing relationship with Him was the most important thing in life to me. And what I came out with, yes, I have been delivered, but I have a deliverer I am head over heels in love with. I love Jesus Christ. I know Him personally because of all that He and I've been through together. And so, instead of thinking, why doesn't He love me as much as He loves somebody else that He just delivered instantaneously, they're also going to find the same thing is going to be true with them. They're going to have other times that He takes them through a long process because He wants to be sufficiency to us. Be complimented. He wants a relationship with you. He doesn't want it to be 10 o'clock in the morning and you still haven't said a word to Him because you didn't have to live off Him that day.
Let me tell you something. I'm sitting over, I know Baptists are not supposed to have visions necessarily, but I don't think I'm hallucinating. I think I'm having visions. I believe Christians can have visions. I don't care if you're Baptist, Catholic, whoever. If you know the Lord, you can have visions. While you're sitting here talking, I'm seeing some things. And here's, after I read what I read in the book, in your book, from, I believe, God's book, I realized, okay, this is a process. I'm going to walk through this. And it was like the Lord said, you two are going to walk with a limp all your life because you're not going to be able to get all puffed up American about what shot somebody makes you think you are or you think you are That's without right. anybody's help. You're always going to be a limp. And you know what I saw while you were talking? I saw me suiting up every day. I saw myself putting on what looked like braces all over my body. God said, but those aren't braces, son. That's armor. Mm-hmm. But as I'm going to tell you, you can't walk anywhere, any day, unless you get up every day and put me on because you are not adequate. You have to have me. As surely as a crippled limb would need a strengthening brace, every day, every part of your body, you need me. And then I saw myself going underwater and God saying, I have sent you into a world situation that without oxygen from above, you can't live.
That's right, you're going to drown.
You have got to draw your strength from above, or you cannot exist in this environment that you're in right now. Does that make any sense? Beth, that's why it's a process of walking through. I am totally dependent, and I have to know that on the Lord. I won't be able to sit back and say, ha, I used to be there. I think that's one reason Paul said, why this messenger of the devil that buffets me? I ask you to take it away. And you said that you not be exalted beyond measure by others because of the abundance of the legitimate revelations that you've seen. You are in this battle. You will find that my grace is sufficient for you. And that grace is sufficient for you, Beth, and for me, and for Betty, and every woman, and every man in this studio, and everyone at home. That's the grace of God. We don't get an instant fix. We put that oxygen on every day, the Spirit of the living God, and walk in it. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. And it shows so much the heart of God toward us, that He didn't just want to fix us instantly and then just
like
go on to
arrived.
The next person. That's right. But that He continues to just work on us and draw us along and show us an all-surpassing power in our own jar of clay. Because I can look at somebody else and I can think, you know, I know He can do that with Betty. I just don't think He can do that with me.
No, that's what I used to say. I told Betty, if I was as good as her, I'd think I was Jesus. I mean, she's so sweet. She's the sweetest girl. I mean, she was full of fear and insecurity. Beth and I talk about what a mess. Were you in a mess?
As far as I was concerned, I was in a big mess with this. I'd lived all my earlier life with this fear. And, you know, when God came to me one night just in my spirit and I could sense His presence around me, He told me, He said, Betty, I heard this just in my spirit for the first time. I love you. I created you. And I want to show you the character that I put within you.
That's right.
And I had so much fear that it took a process of time. And I feel like that was God's mercy, that it wasn't instant. Because I might have felt pretty puffed up to say, well, I'm rid of that.
And think what's wrong with
that. And
anybody
I had
else?
So much, mm-hmm. And it may not make sense, but I had so much pride with that fear. I had insecurity. I had low self-esteem. And God said, I want to show you, take this walk with me, and I'll show you who I created you to be. And I'm going to throw all these chains and these strongholds off of you that you've carried in such a weight for so long. And I'm going to show you what you can do with my spirit in you and my power within you when you shed those things and I let Him be who He wants to be in me.
You know, Betty, then He makes your liberty so contagious. I think it's so important that we point out something of the process of being delivered. Unfortunately, not everyone in your sphere of family, work, friends, and influence will be happy for you. Very often, one of the hardest things you will ever deal with in really seeing a radical deliverance in your own life from the pit is that, you know, oftentimes we have a family pileup in a pit. I know that you know what I'm talking about. We're in with a whole lot of other people. And when one person says they want out, it begins to be very threatening to the rest of the group, whether that's very close friendships, whether that may be a marriage, a family, whatever it may be. I know that for several of my family members and my family of origin, it was extremely threatening. And it made some of them mad because it's as if to say, I don't love you because I no longer want to live in that particular situation. No, I love you. I just want to love you from up here. And it's very difficult because you think everybody would be happy for you, but more often than not, they're a little threatened by it.
Yeah.
But what I would want people to hear, Betty and James, is that the best thing you'll ever do for them is let God deliver you. Love those folks that have been dwelling in that pit with you from the fresh air up here on the ground where your feet are steady on a rock. Love them from there and love them up so that we're not just down all in that pit of despair together, but so that somebody can see real life, flesh and blood, free and in the open air.
And that's going to be a part of this process because everybody you care about is not going to get instantly out of the pit.
That's right.
You didn't, you know, and then it's a process, but we can get out of the pit. I want you to get the book, Get Out of That Pit. I'd like to send it to you. I wrote a book that's a Bible study on spiritual warfare and winning the life you're fighting for, and you really are. And Betty's entire story is in the book, Free to Be Me. This is just a beautiful mom and homemaker that was a wife to a highly visible preacher who was very defeated, and yet she was very defeated. And what a wonderful deliverer. And what a beautiful wife. 44 years I've lived with this beautiful girl in our marriage relationship, and I'm so thankful. And I don't know what relationship you're in, but I know the relationship we're talking about with freedom in Christ, I know that that changes your relationship, even how you deal with broken relationships and broken hearts. I want to send you these materials. We're asking you to help us keep Sharing Life Today, keep our mission feeding programs and our outreaches going, to keep all the projects of life going. And during the summer months, very important that at various times of the year, we need to hear from all of our friends. You call today. We're asking you to prayerfully consider simply making a gift of $49 or more. You may be impressed to say, look, I want to help you big time. You do what God leads you to do. But ask for these books. And then if you'd like to have the DVDs, five of them, and CDs where Beth teaches on who will you trust, and getting out of that pit is a part of that, we'd love to send you those wonderful teachings too on the audio and the video series, DVD or CD. We're simply asking you to pray about making a gift of $89 or more. Pray about that and make the call. You want someone to pray with you because you have a need in your life. You're tired of being in the pit. Well, they'll be so happy to agree with you. But let's renew the minds. That is the reason that we want to put in your hands what you will in many ways hide in your heart, the truth of God that we're seeking to share to benefit and bless you and bless others. I hope you'll make that call, and we thank you so much for your prayers and your support. Continue to watch this week as we're going to be talking to Beth about how we can live on a very much higher plane than most have experienced. Encourage your friends to watch. Go ahead and make the call. Ask for the material. We want to send it to you.
Ever been in a pit? Are you in one now? Is somebody you love living there? Don't think for one second God wants you there. In her book, Get Out of That Pit, Beth Moore shares her experience as a former pit dweller who had to be delivered from a life of bone-chilling darkness. Filled with hope and real answers, Get Out of That Pit provides the path to get your life back on track. James and Beth's passion is to see you break through the chains and enjoy the life God intended for you. And so with your gift today of $49 or more to make the outreaches of life possible around the world, we would like to send you Beth's book, along with James' book, The Life You're Fighting For, and Betty Robison's Free to Be Me. For a gift of $89 or more, in addition to receiving these life-changing books, you will also receive Beth's powerful audio and video series, Who Will You Trust? In this five-part series, including her teaching on Get Out of That Pit, Beth teaches you how to move faith from your head to your heart.
Your God loves you. It's not been too long. It's not been too deep. And your God has made sure that you have heard this message today, because your deliverer has come today.
This dynamic collection is available this week only, so please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I really pray that you have enjoyed what we've shared and been sharing. We're going to be continuing this week with Beth, talking about getting out of that pit, and I appreciate Beth being here. Would all of you like to say thanks to Beth Moore for sharing this time, Beth? Thank you from the bottom of our heart. Look forward to talking to you the rest of the week. Beth Moore is going to be here all week. We'll be talking about getting out of a pit of defeat. We don't have to live there. God bless you.
I mean, he said to me before, in his own language, in my own heart, I am trying to save your scrawny neck here. Why don't you work with me?
Beth Moore, anybody? Tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.